Good morning. Check, check, check. All right, even though it's dark, it's about to get light, so prepare your pupils for extreme dilation. And give three people around you a solid high five before we get going. Find three people and give them just a good one, right? Palm to palm. You can't high five the same person three times. That does not count. It is cheating. Good morning, everyone. My name's Ethan. It's good to see y'all on this happy, cold, almost wintry morning. Who's ready for snow? Raise your hand. I just want to see. Who's like just could skip winter? Raise your hand if you're just skip. I'm with you. Why do we live here? We're stuck. We can't get out. We're trapped. This has nothing to do with anything, but I dread winter so much. This summer, I was getting anxiety about it, and Melissa and I booked a trip to Florida in July. We literally were just, it was before July. June hit, and we're like, we're already scared of what comes next. Anyways, among lists of your greatest fears, we're going to get into it this morning. We're just diving into it. If you had to compile a list of your greatest fears, like a lot of people say their greatest fears is public speaking, what would you consider like your top three? Think about it for a second. Like, what would be some of your top fears? Who would say public speaking would be among, like, no way? Okay, I want you to come grab them. I'm just kidding. Your eyes got soap. My own mother-in-law. I wouldn't do that to you. Among one of my top fears, this is irrational, I get it, but it's being framed for a crime and going to jail. Right? I didn't do anything. And then the cops break down your door, FBI raid. You're in prison for 25 years for something that you were set up for. And the worst thing is no one believes you if you go to jail and I'm set up, or you and everyone else, right? Which leads me to another great confusion. What's up with escape rooms? Like, why would I pay money to go be temporarily locked in a room that's hard to get out of? Do you guys know what an escape room is? It's basically like a prison for fun that you can go pay someone money for. And they're like, thanks for your money. And they throw you into a room and lock the door and say, have a great afternoon. And then you have to solve whatever riddles or, I don't know, I've never done an escape room because, yeah, that seems like one of my greatest fears coming to light. But a lot of us feel like we get into seasons in life where we're in like a prison or we're in a confined area and you cannot get out. Not a literal prison, because we're all sitting here, but a lot of us get into seasons of life where you feel stuck. You feel like you can't get out. You feel like no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, you're stuck in this season. So I want to look at this verse that we're going to just kind of sit on, actually, for a couple of weeks. Let's see if my clicker's working. We're going to look at this verse, and I want to say it all together. We're going to say it out loud, because I want us to memorize this verse. It's not that hard, and a lot of us have this verse memorized. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, so let's say it together. Ready? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. A lot of Christians, we take this verse, and this is like our game time verse, where it's like the big basketball game's coming up, you know, I can do all things as you're warming up and getting ready to go because you want to beat your opponent, or you didn't study for a test and you want to get an A on it, so you go in there, I can do all things, right? Come on, God, help me get this A. Or maybe where you're slacking, you kind of ask God to help kind of tighten up the slack, and you can do all things through God who gives me strength. This is a good way to think about this verse as we're diving into what does this mean. A good way to think about it is this, that in every circumstance, God is seeing you through it. That in every circumstance, God is seeing you through it. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't see it, sometimes even when we don't believe it, God is seeing you through it. Whether you feel like you're in an escape room that you can't escape, or you're in an emotional prison or a mental prison that those thoughts and those feelings you just cannot seem to break out of, that God in every circumstance is seeing you through it. before I jump into the actual sermon, I want us to answer this question. This will help us give a lot of context for the sermon and how it applies to you. I want you mentally, as we go through these next few verses, to think about this, that I'd be all in for God. You'd be all in for Jesus. You'd be all in for the church. You'd be all in for spiritual things and being the best Christian you can be if it wasn't for fill in the blank, right? Think about it for a second, for you and yourself. I'd be all in for God if it wasn't for my past, right? I'd be all in for God if it wasn't for these insecurities. I'd be all in for God if it wasn't for you fill in the blank. If you have a Bible, go ahead and find Philippians 1. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to put the verses on the screen, so don't worry about it. But let me give you a little bit of context. This is written by a guy from the name of Paul, and if you've been in church for more than a couple of weeks, we've probably talked about Paul. He was a missionary who met Jesus, and he just went crazy bringing the message of Jesus to the whole world. Traveled, and he would go to cities, and he would teach and pray and start churches. And Paul found himself in jail actually several times, and not a literal, not like a emotional like prison. No, he was literally in jail for preaching Jesus. He was locked up. He was in chains. He was probably under house arrest awaiting trial when he wrote this. So this is, gives us a little bit of context of where we're going. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Like I said, I think I got some verses. Yep, got them there for you. Philippians 1, 3. I thank God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. These next few verses, they lay out pretty clearly what it takes for us to, in every circumstance, allow us to rely on God to get us through it. It lays out really simply, really clearly, what does it look like for you to be going, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you fill the blank in, like I'd follow God if it wasn't for, all right? This lays out exactly what we need to do, how we need to think to get through our situation. And this is the first thing we need to know. What God starts, God finishes. What God starts, God finishes. We moved into a new house almost 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. When was it? Crystal helped us move. Chris, I don't know, seemed about something like that. I'm really bad at remembering things. And we painted the whole house. Like we picked one color because we are simple, and we painted the whole house that color. And there was one spot above the stairs where the wall meets the ceiling, where I couldn't put a ladder, that there's, some of you are smiling because you know, there's 3 inches of unpainted like trim around where the wall meets the ceiling above the stairs where I couldn't quite reach and then didn't decide to put in any effort to try to reach that spot. And every day, I see this space every day, and you would think after looking at it for several years, I would say, I'm gonna finish painting that. You would think, right? But every day I think about it and I go, well, I gotta go find where we put the paint and then I gotta figure out how to get up there. Do I stack a ladder on a ladder? You know, do I put Melissa on my shoulders? Like, how are we gonna, how they make a tool for this, I'm sure. And then about after I put that much thought into it, I'm just like, ah, we'll worry about it again, right? And we just leave the project unfinished. I know I'm not the only one who does this, all right? You can quit with the judgy eyes, right? We all start projects and we all leave them halfway at some point in our life. Right? But this is the thing with God. His character, if you don't know God's character, it never, ever changes. From the moment he said, let there be light, boom, and he created the whole world, till this very moment, God's character never, ever changes. God is love. When the Bible says God is love, that means he was loving then, he is loving now, and he will be loving. Right? If the Bible says he's full of mercy and compassion, that is a characteristic that will never change. Never. And when this says that what God starts, he finishes, he's like the ultimate contractor, and he's working on you, and he's working on me. If God has started a work in you, and you think he's abandoned you, or you think because of choices that you've made, God took a step back, I just want to be a voice that corrects that in you right now, because if God started something in you, even if you were 5 years old at summer camp and you didn't even know what you were doing, but you raised your hand to accept God, all right, God started a work in you, and he's not going to abandon it. Sometimes we push him away, but he keeps knocking, and he keeps coming back to us. This is the key word. He, what God starts, God will finish. Your salvation wasn't up to how good you are, right? It wasn't on you in the first place. It was on God. He is the one that is going to finish it. The good work, what does good work mean? Good work is salvation that God has brought to you. That if he planted that seed, it's like a garden, right? Good work in a garden, you got to weed stuff out, you got to be patient, you got to water it. And these are all things that God is doing to you if you accepted him. It's a process. And then lastly, he brings the work to completion. That I believe if you are a Christian, you're following God, and you're allowing him to work on you, when you get to heaven, when you see Jesus face to face, the work in you will be complete. Again, let's look at the context of this verse, because Paul, like I said, he's under house arrest, he's imprisoned, and he's facing trial for what is treason, in which if he's found guilty, he will die. And he's writing about God completing a good work. Paul's whole thing is about being a missionary, traveling from city to city, starting church after church. And he's writing this, saying like, hey, God's going to finish it. God's got a good work. He's going to complete it. Paul is so confident in God's work through his imprisonment. The key word here, through his imprisonment. This is where the message becomes not so fun for a lot of us. If I'm being honest, I don't want God to bring me through things. I want him to bring me around things, over things, under things. But very, very rarely does God do that. He says, through the imprisonment, through him, all things are possible, right? That means he leads you right into the ugly, nasty, difficult parts of our lives. And he doesn't always just pluck us out and say, okay, I know that was hard. Here you go. All done, like I want to do with my kids. No, he knows it's important to let us go through it, because God's work, God, he loves to just prove everyone wrong in any and every circumstance, that he is so powerful, he is so mighty, that you might look at your own circumstance where you fill in that line, like I'd follow God if it wasn't for, and God looks at that and goes, I can do some amazing things through the line, that blank part of your life. He can't wait to show you. He can't wait to finish that work in your life. You guys following me? Yeah? Right on. All right, let's get to verse 7 through 8. He says that it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. This man sounds way too positive to be in jail. Do you ever meet those annoyingly positive people that just smile and hug and you're like, you know, you had a bad day and you're just like, you know, not now. I've had a day. Just give me a minute. You like can't get on their level, right? Super positive people. We all know them. And I think Paul might have been experiencing some of that in this moment. It sounds like a strangely positive person for someone who's essentially on death row. He knows something. He's got a secret that maybe we don't have, right? We need to get a little slice of whatever he's got going on. This is a big one. We examine the facts. We let the facts inform our feelings. We got to look at the facts before our feelings, which is really hard because I'm sure we have some really strong feelings at times. All right. Come with me on this journey for a second. We're gonna leave Philippians. We're gonna go to John chapter 9. Let's go to John chapter 9. And a lot of us, when we're in a situation, we have a hard time, trying to decide what we do, how we act, how we think when we're going through a tough time. Right? We find ourselves kind of grasping for God, why, right? Have you guys ever done that? I've heard this a lot. How do we reconcile God? I said, remember, his character doesn't change. He's loving and compassionate. He wants to see it through. How do we justify that God with the suffering we see around us? This is a big question, right? If you have people that aren't Christian, they probably have asked this question. Okay, probably if you are Christian, you've asked this question. Why am I going through this if God is everything that he says he is? Why do I have to go through this time? Why did that person do that, say that to me? If God is loving and caring and powerful, why am I in the situation that I'm in today? We've probably all asked that. Sorry, I got carried away. I'm not in John 9 yet. Just hold on. I promise I know where it is. Look at John 9, 1 through 5. So Jesus is, he's walking along, and a blind man is on the side of the road. So let's just go verse 1. And as he went along, he saw the blind man from birth. And Jesus had some followers, they were called disciples, and they asked him, Rabbi, which is like teacher, pastor, leader, whatever, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So let's just kind of look at this. Jesus is walking down the road, and he's having a good day, and there's a blind man right in front of him. And his disciples, they nudge him, and they're like, hey, what did he do to get in that situation? Because they believed if you were born with something or if something bad happened to you, you were crippled or blind or had a illness, it was because of something you did. And if it wasn't because of something you did, it was something your parents did. So Jesus is all-knowing, and his disciples kind of seeing how Jesus has this power, they nudge Jesus and like, oh, he could tell us. Jesus, what did this man do wrong? What did he do to get himself into this situation? And before we start judging the disciples, we've all asked and thought this, whether about ourselves or other people, right? What did they do, right? Or you look at yourself and you go, what is my problem? What is wrong with me that I get into this situation? It's instinctive, right? We look for that answer. We look for the why. Why does this happen? Why is this person in this situation? Look at Jesus' response. I'm still grappling with this, so I might not have a super clear answer. I'm hoping I can be as clear as I can be, and the Lord will kind of help me here. But this is what Jesus says. Neither this man or his parents have sinned. They're looking for the answer, and Jesus goes, you don't even know why he's here. And then he informs them. But Jesus said, but this has happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. Jesus goes on to heal this man. Okay, let's just think about this. This blind man is here, and they're trying to figure out why he's in that situation. Jesus doesn't tell the disciples why he's in the situation. He just informs the disciples what's going to happen out of the situation. Just if you don't get anything, get this. Jesus may not be telling you why you're in your situation. Jesus might not go, you're going through a divorce because of this and this and this. You have your childhood trauma because you put yourself in this situation or this person. We may not get all the whys of why we are in the situation we are in, right? And we are sometimes in painful, hurtful situations. But Jesus tells us what can happen in every single one of our situations. In every single one of your struggles and mine, Jesus speaks this key truth. Hear this, that from your struggle, God can receive glory and will receive glory if we allow him. Every single situation, whether you think it's too big or too small, God can receive glory. I just feel like someone needs to let that sink in, that your greatest fear, your greatest disappointment, your greatest hurt, even how evil it might look, how bad the devil tried to destroy you, God can use it to bring him glory. I was listening to a podcast, which is what we all do all week long while we drive, right? And this pastor was talking about, and I'll be sensitive because I know there's some kids in the room, but there's a pastor, he was giving his testimony, and he's talking about his wife's testimony, and his wife had been physically taken advantage of at a young age. And she was absolutely devastated. And then she met Jesus. And what Jesus did is he took this horrible, evil thing, and now his wife leads thousands and thousands of women who have also been abused to the Lord. How can someone have something so horrible happen to them, and then they meet God, and he just brings it into his glory? If God can use her situation or anyone's situation, he can use yours. He can use yours. The results, if we let God into our life, will always be glory to God. All right, how are we doing on time? Oh, we are solid. Let's get to the next portion here. And this is my prayer. So Paul is talking, and he says that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best, pure, and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the last thing I want to share with you guys, is you need to trust God's process. Trust God's process, not our own timing. This is what I'm preaching to myself, not my own timing. How many of you would love to inform God when and where you'd like him to move, right? Yeah, that'd be great. God, right here, right now, this is what I'd like you to do and how I'd like you to do it, right? This is our problem, but God has got his timing. And it doesn't always feel good, but then when you look back, you realize, wow, God maybe really did know best. That we need to trust his process. And it goes like this. It goes love, knowledge, and depth of insight. Let's just quick run over this. It goes love, knowledge, and depth of insight. Your love can increase even though your situation is peril. Your love can increase even though you feel broken on the inside. Your love for God can increase no matter what, no matter where you are. And if your love for God increases, your love for people will increase. And this will lead you to seek knowledge about God, right? Your love for God increases. God, what does he love? He loves people. So you're going to start loving people. Paul, this is wild. This is how you know God and Paul had a great relationship, is because Paul is preaching to the guards. He's preaching to visitors. There is no one that comes into contact with Paul that doesn't hear the gospel of Jesus, right? If I'm being arrested, the last thing I'm going to do as they're hauling me away is, do you know Jesus, right? You know, I'd be like, you know, I have rights, and I'm trying to, you know, get out. I've been framed. That's not me. I'm trying to get out of this situation. And Paul is being dragged away, sucker punched in the gut, and he's like, let me pray for you. Blah. You know, he's just, what is his problem? His love for God is so great, he realizes how much God loves people, even the people that are performing horrible things against him. And this will lead to knowledge. When you love God and know God, you're going to have what's called depth of insight. When you know God and love God, he's going to show you things. He's going to show you the right thing to do and the right place to do it. How many of us just need clarity? What do I do? Who do I talk to? Where do I go? We ask ourselves these questions. How do I get out of this situation? How do I get through this situation? When you love God and know God, he's going to show you, and it's going to be abundantly clear in your life. I really believe that. And this is what Paul wants, so that the church in Philippi that he's writing to, he wants them to be pure and blameless and filled with fruit in every single circumstance. Filled with fruit in every single circumstance. This is going to be the prayer for you guys. That in every circumstance, you will be filled with fruit. Like apples and oranges? No, let me break it down. That when you follow Christ, right, we have what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is used to feed people. Fruit is, it's pleasing, it's delicious, right? It's sweet, and it helps people. It gives them energy, right? That no matter what circumstance you are in, you will be fruitful, and you will be able to minister to everyone and anyone that you come into contact with. Even through horrible situations, man, I think that God can work through you in your anxieties. I think you can be full of anxiety and depression, and that if you let God in, he is going to bring fruit into your life, despite what you think or how you feel. And it all starts with the love of God. I'm not sure if I have this very last slide. I just want to check something. Yeah, this is where I want to bring it back to, that I can do all things, not some things, not a few things, not the semi-easy things, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't know what the thing that you imagine. You'd be all in for God if it wasn't for blank. I'd be all in for God if it wasn't for blank. I want you to memorize this simple, simple verse. How easy. I picked a short one and one that's really popular, so it's really easy, our homework. That I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Not through your own power, not through your own logic, not through your own plan, but through him. That means if you kneel to Jesus and if you make him the Lord, you make him the captain, you make him the one who's making your path, through him, you can get through every situation. The pain of your past, how it's shameful and you don't want to talk about it, and it lets you hold you back because you think if people knew what you really did, what you really said, how bad you really were, then they wouldn't even let you in church anymore. Well, not according to this, that through him, you can get through it. Through Jesus, you'll find redemption. Through him, you can get through anything. In every circumstance, God will see you through it. I just want to pray for you right now. If this is a struggle, if you feel like you haven't been able to just give it all to God because it's just this one thing, or several things, right? Maybe you've got a laundry list and you're like, man, Ethan, if I could show you the list of this and this and this, and then this happened, and then they said this, and then I am so broken, I am so lonely. Guys, it starts with just one decision, and that's to make him Lord, and that's to follow him, right? And the rest is on him, right? You're not your own savior. That's his job. So let me just pray for you if that's you this morning. So let's just close our eyes and go to him for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for not abandoning us. Thank you for giving us away. Thank you for not leaving us. Thank you for completing a good work that you started in us. For those of us who are Christians that, man, we have struggled. God, we feel like we ran away from you. We feel like we abandoned you. We feel like you want nothing to do with us. That couldn't be further from the truth. And let this moment serve as proof that you are pursuing us, that you are knocking on the door. You started a job that you want to finish. I pray for that person, for the walls to melt in their heart right now, God, and you just invade their soul and their mind, and you speak to them so clearly. And for the person who is like hearing this for the first time and they're like, wow, do I need some help in my circumstance? I've never heard any of this before. God, I pray that you just make yourself known to them, just in the stillness of their soul and their minds. And there's no better way to go through life than to go through life through you, because you're going to get us through every situation. The good ones, the bad ones, the dull ones, the exciting ones, no matter what, you're going to get us through every situation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. This is a message for whether you're 6 or 60, you've been a Christian your whole life, or you started right now, right here, right? There's always that thing, that struggle, that tension, and I just pray that God gives you peace, He gives you strength, He gives you comfort, He gives you direction, anything that you need to get through with this week, He's got for you. So seek Him, continue to see what He has for you and for your life. Hey, youth, do we have any youths in the house? Any people in school? You're not raising your hand, but I know you're here. The guys, you got youth group tonight, which is going to be at the Red Rooster at 6. So don't miss out on that. Tell your friends to be there. And thanks for coming this week, guys. We'll see y'all next Sunday.